So last week we began the, after our initial introductions, we began the mission on Daf Beis and discussing some of the issues in the beginning here. So let me recap just a little bit and move on. It's a little bit complicated in the right at the outset. So again, the first topic that we're discussing, the first topic that the Mishnah and the Gemara discusses, is the limits of Yibum. The cases where Yibum doesn't apply. Normally, again, the classic situation is that a brother dies childless, and he leaves one or more wives, and then normally we have the mitzvah of Yibum. You have the alternative of Yibum and Chalitza. Yibum or Chalitza. And the Mishnah begins by telling us that there are some relationships in the context of Yibum which preclude Yibum. There will be no Yibum if the wife of the brother or one of the wives of the brother is in the category of one of the 15 Arayos. That's the beginning of the Mishnah. And that's what we're just going to read it through again very quickly. And what we want to try to analyze is why that should be so, and why should it be so, and what the implications of that are to the broader question of how to understand what Yibum is that we've been discussing. We've been discussing two, you know, broadly speaking, two points of view about how it is that the mitzvah of Yibum works. One is that the mitzvah of Yibum really challenges and in some respects even violates some of the standard categories of issues. The reason that that is acceptable is because the overriding mitzvah takes precedence. So in other words, there's an Isur of Eshasach. A sister-in-law is one of the Arayos. In the Parsha of Arayos in the Torah, sister-in-law, meaning the wife of one's brother, we'll talk about the other sister-in-law in a minute, is one of the Arayos. And normally that means that she is prohibited not only while the brother is alive, that's obvious, it's also Eishes Ish, but even La'achar Moso, even after he dies, it's still a prohibited relationship. The thing is that the overriding imperative of Lahakim Lahakim Shem B'Yisrael, whatever that means, and that we've discussed a little bit also, whether it means it literally or it's something more than that, it's about a broader family obligation towards this sister-in-law under these circumstances, or towards the legacy or the memory of the deceased brother. Whatever it is, that is such an overriding mitzvah that it allows us to trample upon, not really trampling, because Torah is telling us to do it, what otherwise would be trampling upon the Isur of Eshes Ach. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is to see it more in what I call Hutra-type terms rather than Dukuya terms, but those are very, you know, broad categories which we need to define better in this context. But the idea is that Yibum is a form of Eshes. And it too is infused with kedushas ishus. The circumstances of a brother's death without leaving any kind of heirs, right, transforms the way that we look at a relationship, you know, with that or one of his one of his wives that one of the wives that that is left behind. In other words, instead of seeing it as the overriding obligation of Lahakim Lahakim Shem B'Yisrael being dochev, literally thrusting aside the prohibition of Isur Eishes Ach, what we're really saying is that in circumstances where his, you know, the continuity, the legacy of this brother is in question, there is no Isur Eishes Ach, and on the contrary, there is a certain opportunity for an obligation of Ishus Shel Kedusha. These are very, very different perspectives. And what we're trying to analyze is, we've seen again in our Kaktama, we saw that this is an issue that, you know, is very much on the forefront. Even the word or the phrase Yavama Yabo Aleha in the Torah in Parshas Kitetze, which describes the mitzvah of Yibum, even just the reading of those words you know, reflects these two different approaches, as we've discussed, right? One is that Yavama, meaning the brother-in-law, sister-in-law relationship, right? Yavama, her brother-in-law, Yavo Aleha. So the interpretation of many Rishonim is, this is what's supposed to happen under these conditions, even though normally a sister-in-law is an erva. In the context of the brother having died without leaving any kind of legacy, so the sister-in-law becomes a preferred marriage partner. That's, again, what we call not only the, you know, the narrower Hutra idea, but this broader Hutra idea, which I'm trying to project, which is that Yibum is a form of Ishus, and Ishus show Kedusha at that. The other interpretation, as we discussed then, the Kizkuni, the Sfarno, some of the Balitosis, is exactly the opposite. They say Yavama, it's her brother-in-law, right? Yavo Aleha, even though it's his brother-in-law, nonetheless, that's what the Kizkuni and the Sfarno say. There are sometimes we find in linguistically, in Hebrew, right, where a phrase, you know, when turned into a verb, has exactly the opposite meaning. It's almost saying, this is the relationship, right? And nonetheless, go ahead anyway. So the go ahead anyway, you know, is very much reflects a dechuya kind of approach. Again, I'm not saying that the whoever takes a stand on this parshanut question, you know, that dictates what he holds about Yibum, because it's more complicated than that. I'm just talking about the orientation. What I'm saying is, there are two ways to look at all of this. One is, these are exceptions, these are overridings, that's one way, and the other way is we're reorienting ourselves. Given the conditions that exist in this particular situation, this is no longer a problem, this is a kiyum, this is a chiyum, this is a mitzvah. How does that translate into the first Mishnah? Because the first Mishnah is discussing cases where Yibum doesn't apply. Right? So on the one hand you have the mitzvah of Yibum, and what obstacles exist, right, that will impede, you know, implementing Yibum? So surely, right, that's going to be a very important, you know, piece. That's going to be very significant in this whole discussion. So what I'm saying is, I think, and I'm going to try to show this as we go through some of these Gemaras, and we're showing this one more second, what I'm going to try to show is that there are these two exact approaches. Namely, one is, if you're talking about an obstacle or an impediment to Yibum, right, it's based on the principle that even though Yibum is an overriding obligation which allows you to violate the Isra of Eishes Ach, normally one of the Erevas, right, that doesn't mean that it gives you unlimited license to violate everything. Right? There's a certain tension, there's pressure and there's counter-pressure. Sometimes you're going to meet counter-pressure which you can't overcome. So the Torah said that you can violate, you should violate Isra Eishes Ach in order to accomplish the mitzvah of Yibum. But in a situation where it's not only Iser Eishes Ach, it's also Iser Achos Ishto, or Kalasso, or you know, Bito, whatever the case may be, then the Torah says, Adkan, right, in those circumstances, as important as Yibum is, it meets an obstacle which it can't justify overcoming. So then, it's all like a quantitative analysis. The whole issue is going to rest on the rules, the general rules of clashes between a mitzvah and an iser. Normally what we call the topic of ase docha los ase. What about ase docha los ase shiesh bokares? Because these are all los ase shiesh bokares. So that's going to be very crucial, very central in the whole topic. And that's the mentality that says you have a mitzvah on one side, it has a certain weight. You have an iser on another side, it has a certain weight. And the question is, how do you handle a clash, as in other areas of halakha, between two halakhic imperatives? The other perspective, I just want to get it out, and then I'll take the question, is what I call the more ambitious one, or the more hutra-orient one, which says as follows. Yibum, to begin with, should not be perceived as a struggle between the Isra Eishes Ach and the mitzvah of Yibum, such that you're violating Isra Eishes Ach, but the Torah is telling you you're doing it in a good cause because it's an overriding obligation. Rather, Isra Eishes Ach b'makom she'ein la'ach banim, and there is a mitzvah of Yibum, right, instead of being an erva, is, as I say, a preferred candidate for marriage, for Ishus, and for Kedusha. you're fulfilling your family obligation. Again, when the brother is alive or when the brother has children, so then any involvement with the sister-in-law is a terrible betrayal. It's a competition slash betrayal. But if he dies, he has no children, and the reason that you're being told, right, that this is your preferred future mate, right, is to provide for his legacy. So in that circumstance, you're not violating Yisra Eishes Ha'ak. On the contrary, the relationship of Eishes Ha'ak under these conditions is the reason for the Kiyum Eishes. Ah, but if that's true, so then we're going to look at the obstacle in a very different way. What we're going to say is, there might be other circumstances where the relationships just don't, they don't qualify for that kind of thing. So for example, that's what we're talking about here. Let's say the sister-in-law is also my daughter. Not mine. Right? When I say mine, or your, we're not talking about anybody in the room. But somebody's daughter, right? The Yavam's daughter. Or the Yavam's mother-in-law. Or the Yavam's sister-in-law, right? Meaning the sister of his wife. Or the Yavam's daughter-in-law, as the case may be. For the 15 that we're going to mention. Now, can that happen? Absolutely it can happen. We'll see in a moment. Right? My mother-in-law, right, is no longer married to, to her previous husband, which is what made her my mother-in-law. So she, in a second marriage, somebody dies, somebody gets divorced, she marries my brother. That can happen. My daughter marries my brother. The person can marry their niece. Can't marry their aunt, but they can marry their niece. Right? So now what happens is, the brother dies, he leaves no children. One of the wives, either the only wife if there's only one wife, or one of the wives, if there are multiple wives, turns out to be my mother-in-law, my daughter-in-law, my daughter. It can't be my mother, usually, because then probably my brother couldn't have married her either, unless it's my
stepmother.
Right. Yeah, that could be. But then she would still have been the mother of... I'm sorry, the wife of his father, and that's also a prohibited relation, so you can't have that. So, but the point is, we'll get to some of those complications soon. But the point is, this could happen. Now, under these conditions, from a what we call dechuya point of view, namely a clash between the imperative of Yibum on one side, the mitzvah Yibum on the one side, and the surah that you're being asked to violate on the other, so it's a quantitative question. Right, in one case it was sister-in-law, and now it's sister-in-law plus daughter-in-law. Okay, so you have to make the cheshbon that way. That's the way you're looking at it. It's more, but since we were already pushing, maybe it's still under the, maybe the weight is still for Yibum, or maybe, you can take one at a time, one battle at a time. You divide and you conquer. You can overcome sister-in-law, you can overcome daughter-in-law. Maybe just take a breath in between. But that's the way to look at it from that point of view. But if you look at it from the perspective of Yibum turning Eishes Ha'ak into a preferred marriage candidate, right? So then, but it's also Nerva, it's also your daughter, it's also your daughter-in-law, it's also your mother-in-law. That's never, right, subject to being a preferred marriage candidate. Right? So then... what we're going to say is that it's not the Isur of Erevah, according to the first perspective, it's the Isur or the Onish of Erevah that we have to consider. Asay docha los asay, the ain asay docha los asay, you'll see this all inside in a minute, she yesh bo karas. And these are yesh bo karas, right? According to the second perspective I'm trying to develop, it isn't the Isur HaKamor only, or even primarily. It's the relationship. It's the idea that this is an Isur Erevah. I, the brother-in-law, is also an Isur Erevah. Yeah, but that's exactly what Yibum is. Yibum says that b'makom she'ein banim, it's not an Isur Erevah. But that's not true if, coincidentally, the sister-in-law happens to be my daughter or my mother-in-law. Right? So that would be a whole different perspective. Another way to say this is, again, for the first perspective, it's the Isur and the Onesh. Moreover, it could be that there's what we call a zika liyibum, namely the infrastructure of yibum, which is that when the brother dies without leaving children, that there's a kesher which needs to be addressed between the woman, right, and her brother-in-law. It could be this zika liyibum, But it doesn't matter. You just can't implement Yibum because the violation, right, is too great. You're not able to overcome it. That's the first perspective. But according to the second perspective, it's more that there's no Chiyuv Yibum, and maybe there's not even Zika Yibum. It isn't the onesh of Erba, it's the status of Erba, which is Koveya. And therefore, hopefully we'll be able to see different strands already in the discussion of the Gemara and then later in the Rishonim of these two ideas, of these two perspectives on what the Petur Erba is about. I'm going to read the Mishnah just to highlight it more in a minute. But first, do you have a question?
Just a point of information. Apologies to my ignorance. If a person has multiple wives and he passes away, so all those wives are in the
Kukali Yibum, yeah.
Zika to the brothers?
Yes.
But only one is required for Harkin Shem Barakim.
Yeah. So he chooses which one?
He chooses.
All of them are Zikuka Yibum until one of them is either recipient of Yibum or Chalitza. Then the others are Niftaras.
You're free?
Yeah. Absolutely. Now there's some complicated, you know, it's a big masakta. So you can imagine that that's. What if you did a mimer with this one and you did. You know, then you
one wife has to be married to
only one. It only can be one. You can't do the Gemara later on, and then Dalit or so has the limudim. You can't do a double. You can't be miyabim two. You can't be cholates two. You can't be miyabim one and cholates another. Now again, what you could have is start two brothers.
Two surviving brothers there. Each one can
right.
Be miyabim one.
One brother, one wife. Now there's a hierarchy in brothers. I don't want to get into this right now. That's a big topic. I think I mentioned last week that there's a hierarchy in brothers. There are two Mishnayos, one in, on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, just if you want to look for a minute. This is on the brother side. Right, the famous Mishnah, Mitzvah Begadol Yadim, Im Kidim HaKatan Zacha. That means preferably it's the older brother. Oldest or older brother, we'll get that in a second. But if the younger one usurps, it works. That's one Mishnah. Then there's another Mishnah on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, which speaks about a little more complicated. Mitzvah Begadol Yavim, same phrase, right? The older brother should do the Yibum. Lo Ratzah Mahalchen Al Kol Ha'achim. Let's say he doesn't want to. Then the next tier is the other brothers. Lo Ratzu, they don't want. Chozer Neitzel Gadol. They go back to the older brother. Omrim Lo Alecha Mitzvah O Chalotz O Yavim. That's the Amen. Tala Bekata. The Mishnah goes on. So that's a question. The Rambam's view is oldest brother. The others are all equal. All the other Rishonim are the opinion that there's a hierarchy in the brothers, in the age. But that's in the brother side. In the women's side, it's who the Yabam chooses. But they're all Zakuka, right? Until, now again, there can be a situation where there's one brother, he had two other brothers, both of whom died and left wives. Okay? So then, of course, you have two Yibums, one for each family. But within one family, there's only one. And that's the Gemara's discussion. I think it's Mem, Dalet, Omen, Aleph. And the Gemara here says very quickly, if you look, yeah, the Mishnah here speaks about part of it. Right? If you look at the Mishnah on Mem, Gimel, and Beis, Arba Achim, Nesuin, Arba Nashim. You have four brothers, each of whom is married. Right, Umesu, Imratza Gadol Shavem Liyave, Meskulon, Arishus Piyado. Right, you can marry one from each family, but you can't marry more than one from each family. Misha Yenasa Deshtenashim, Umes Piyaso Kalitza Shalachas Mem, Poteras Tzara. So that's what you just asked. Hoyts Achas Ksher, Viachas Psula, Imayacholetz Cholutz Psula, Imayabe Miyab Lechev. Then the Gemara later on discusses, if you go down like five or six, about seven, eight lines, the two dots, Uniyabim Latrabayu, maybe you should do Yibum to two in the same family, and he wants to be Yamda, or maybe the two brothers. So Gemara says, Rabchia, Amar Kra, Asher Lo Yibanez, Beis Achir, Beis Echadu Bona Vein Bona Shtei Batim. Then the Gemara says, Nachlotz Latrabayu, the Gemara says, Amar Marzutra, right, Beis Chalutana, Beis Echadu Choletz, Vein Choletz, Shtei Batim, and so on. And then the Gemara says, maybe one Yibum, one Chalitza. Okay, so that's it. Anyway, okay. So that is that's the structure that we're looking at. Yeah.
One marriage for us, Yibum, and a second marriage, Samazai.
Say again?
You could do one marriage for us, Yibum.
What do you mean, one marriage?
In other words, she could be Miyabe, one woman.
Right.
the rest of Tzoros Amaturos, and then you can go through a regular Kiddushin.
That's a question. That's a question. We'll get to that. That's an issue.
Okay. The two paradigms that you're positing.
Yeah.
I say Doka Losas,
the
special Isha's character of Isha.
Right.
Is there a Nafkamina there?
Yeah, there'll be a bunch of Nafkaminas. We'll see as we go on. So let's just first see whether or not there's this is all just something fabricated or it has roots. And so first let's just go run over the Mishnah again very quickly, because it's a complicated Mishnah. And as I say, so far I've only discussed the Yibum part, the Yibum of the Erva. There's also something called Tzara and Tzara's Tzara, which I'm going to get to in just a minute. So let's just get the, because that's part of the topic too. So Chamesh Asher Nashim Potros Tzarosayim, the Tzara's Tzarosayim, Min HaKalitza, Min HaYibum, Ad Sof HaOmer. There are 15 relationships, right, which if you encounter them in the context of Yibum, meaning your brother was married to a certain woman, right, he died childless, now all his wives are Zekukos, the Yibum, one of them is one of these 15 relationships. So the rule is that woman is keturah, right, from Yibum and Chalitza, but not only that, also Tzoroseyan, the Tzoros Tzoroseyan, Ad Sofa Olam. We'll explain what that means in just a minute. Okay, the Mishnah will explain what it means in just a minute. The Elohim, what are the 15 relationships which have this issue? So it's, again, we'll just go through them quickly, but it's Bito, right, his daughter. These are all people who he has an erva relationship with, who his brother theoretically could marry, and therefore, if the brother dies, could end up being Zekuka Liibum, right, to him. Therefore, he has an erva Yibum. Everybody catch that? I'm saying it's like, as I explained in the very beginning, some of these cases look very complicated. They are a little technically complicated, but they're very, mostly very simple, very easy. I mean, the ideas are pretty easy. So this is also, meaning we just need to know what they are, and then once we kind of demystify them, they're fine. These are all relationships that are erva to him, but which, right, are not off limits to his brother, and therefore you could have a situation where he encounters erva. For example, Bito, meaning his brother married his daughter. Could happen. Bas Bito, Bas Bino, his granddaughter from either son or daughter. Same thing. Bas Ishto means either his real daughter, right, as we had before, or his stepdaughter. He can't marry his stepdaughter, but his brother can marry his stepdaughter, right? So if the brother dies, so the stepdaughter is now one of the, you know, Zekuka Viomenesis. Bas Bina, Bas Bita, again, his wife's, you know, daughter, his wife's granddaughter, from either her son or her daughter. It's all the same relationship. Okay, so that's in one direction. Then move it to that's down, right? Now we go up, right? Chamoso, his mother-in-law, right? He can't marry his mother-in-law. Let's say his mother-in-law is no longer married to his father-in-law, right? The father-in-law died, the father-in-law and the mother-in-law divorced. She now married his brother. I don't know whether that's so amicable, but it's certainly legal, right? So chamoso, right, or aim chamoso, his grandmother-in-law, right? He had a very youthful grandmother-in-law, and she married his older brother. Okay, because it was older brother, maybe she didn't even have to be so youthful, right? The aim chamid, or the same thing, the, you know, his father-in-law's mother, same idea. Okay, that's up. Down and up, you can see that. Achoso me'imo, his sister, but his sister from his mother. Why his sister from his mother? If it was sister from his father, then his brother couldn't marry her. It would be his brother's sister. Right? Because Yibum, remember, the brother in Yibum is always the brother from the father. Could be the brother from both, but it's always the brother from the father. Okay. So therefore, his sister, who is not his brother's sister, right, could be married in theory. Akosimo, again, anything from the mother's side, anything from his mother's side, if he doesn't share a mother with his brother, is going to be somebody who his brother theoretically could be married to. So Akosimo, right, that's his aunt from his mother, his maternal aunt, is that the way we say it? Achos Ishto is his sister-in-law, but his wife's sister, right? His wife's sister can marry, two sisters can marry two brothers. If they couldn't, half the Mishnayos and Yevamos would be out the window, right? Many of the cases are there are four brothers, two of them married sisters, right? That could happen for sure. But the problem is, if the brother dies childless, that means that his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, is now omedes le ibo. That's a prohibited relationship. Akos imo. Oh, sorry, that was akos ishto. Eshes achid me imo. Right, his aunt from his mother's side. Eshes achid shelo yabalon. This is already trickier. We talked about this in the Hagdama. This is a different kind of a relationship. This is his sister-in-law, his regular sister-in-law, his brother's wife. Normally, that's a classic case of ibum. But here we're talking about a situation of shelo haya ba'olama. This brother, right, didn't coexist with the brother who died. The brother died, and then a year later, right, the father had another child. Or a month later, this child was born, etc. So the rule is, this we'll discuss with Shimon and the Chachamim, that achim shelo haya ba'olama says ki yeshvu achim yachta. So the Gemara says on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and the Sefer says in Parshas Kisetze ki yeshvu achim yachta excludes achim shelo haya ba'olama. And we tried to explain that a little bit. It's a family obligation. It has to do with yeshiva b'yachad. I think it's a very inspiring idea, close to one of our paradigms. Okay.
Is that chorus though?
And the final one is Kalosot, his daughter-in-law. I'm sorry?
Is that a chim chorus?
Sure.
It's
Eishas Achim. It's not an Eishas, it's an Eishas Achim, which she's a sister-in-law in every respect, just Linyan Yibum. That's why it's such a big Kiddush. Because normally, why do we care whether they inhabited the same time span or not? The relationship is still the same, al pi din. That's what I tried to explain in the beginning of the year. I wanted to compare it to what we find in Bechor and Yerusha as well. Or we find that same phenomenon. If a father's Bechor, father dies, and then after he dies, his Bechor is born. And the wife is pregnant. She had with twins or triplets, let's say. Right? And the father dies before she gives birth. And she gives birth, there's a Bechor, and there's other children. So the rule is that the din that Bechor takes Pishnayim doesn't apply unless the Bechor is alive, right, at the same time that the father is. Because Yakir Omer Achmana, and he has to be alive to be Mach. That's the Gemara in Bavavasudav Kufnen Beis. I wanted to compare these two ideas, especially since the Gemara calls a Yavam also a Bechor. Right, in Parshas Kisetze, which is another big issue. The Gemara says it doesn't mean dafka b'chor, but the Torah uses the expression b'chor. So I wanted to say that these are this has to do with the status of the person more than the technical relationship. Okay. Anyway, the kalosa. Hare elu potros torasem etzoros torasem min achalitza min ayibum ad sof ba'olam. That's the Mishnah. These are the 15 that if you encounter them, so there's no yibum, there's no chalitza, and not only that, it also impacts on the tsaros and tsaros tsaros, which we'll explain in just one more minute. Then the Mishnah continues. Hulan, imesu o mianu, o nizgarshu, o nimsu islandis, then tsarosay and mutaros. We'll explain tsaros in the Mishnah in just a minute, but what tsaros are, since the Gemara of the Mishnah is already making allusion to them, tsaros mean if there's more than one wife, tsaros literally means a rival. Or a co-wife, or rival wife. Meaning, in the pre-Rabbeinu Gershon days, when people could have, al pidin Torah, people could have more than one wife. So the question is, let's say the deceased brother has three wives. Right? So one wife is a daughter to the potential Yavam, and the other two are what we call nachrios, they're strangers, meaning they have no relationship to him. So we would think that would be fine. He can't be the Yabim, his own daughter, or his own mother-in-law, or his own sister-in-law. But why can't he be Miyavim the second and the third wife? I'm just giving them numbers arbitrarily. Right? So indeed, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Saros, Erba, are candidates for Yibum. We'll see this in just one more minute. That's the view of Beis Shammai. The Mishnah and Daf Yud Gimel, which we'll see in just a minute. However, Beis Hillel is of the opinion that not only Erva is excluded from Yibum, but even Saras Erva, even the rival wives of the Erva, if there's an Erva in the group, basically, then the whole group is excluded from Yibum. We're going to talk about this a little more. It's a very important idea, obviously. It's an argument to Beis Shammai, but it's a fascinating idea. What does it mean? Anyways, so the Mishnah goes on to say, the Kulon in Mesul, so let's say this fellow, the brother, who didn't die yet, but let's say during his lifetime, the brother, the now deceased brother, he married three wives. Okay? Now, so let's say he married three wives, and one of them is the brother's daughter. Okay? And that's the problem. That's going to be the problem for Yibum. But let's say, before he died already, what happened was this problem wife, only a problem, you know, for the Yibum down the road, was out of the picture already by the time he died. Let's say the brother number one, the brother who's about to become deceased, he divorced her already. Right? Or she turned out to be an islandess. So there was a mekatos, and it wasn't a real marriage. So he married her, assuming that she was, you know, physically, you know, capable of having children. And it turns out she was an islandess, which doesn't mean just lemaisa. She didn't have simane isha, you know, who could have children. So, or let's say he married her when she was a katana, right? And that's a kiddushin drabbanan. And she has the right of refusal. She has the right to opt out of that marriage. So that's what the Mishnah says. V'kulon in mesu o mianu o nizgarshu o sheninsu islandis. If that erva in the group, right, of the three wives or the five wives, or doesn't matter. If she either died before he did, or mianu, she was a child bride, and she opted out of the marriage. Right? Oh, Nisgarshu, or they divorce, he divorced that one, the daughter, in other words. Ocean into islandess, or it turns out that the marriage was based on a false premise, and there really was no marriage. So you might have thought that since at one time she was, in the case of Gerushin and Nisa, right? Or it seemed she was, in the case of Miun and islandess, right, one of the wives. So maybe the contamination of Tsaras Erva would still apply. So the Mishnah is telling us there's a din of Tsaras Erva according to Beis Hillel, but it doesn't apply if the Erva was already neutralized Kodem Misas Haba. That's all that's what these words mean. I'm just trying to make it clear. Yeah.
Why?
Well, because by the time the Yibum takes place...
I understand, but what's the happening in it? Because it is the state when it becomes...
You mean, what's the happening in your answer?
Yeah.
No, so I think it depends very much how you understand Sarah Sarah. So just hold off on that for a minute.
But you don't become a Sarah until you're in a Yibum position.
No, that's not, no, not
why
really.
Why not?
Ah, that's the question. So that's what we're going to get to. Meaning the word Sarah's Erba just means a co-wife or a rival wife. So
okay.
They were rival wives.
It's not relevant until the Yibum.
That's what the Mishnah is saying. But the question is, why would we think otherwise? That's a legitimate question. So I think that the answer will be forthcoming if we understand better what this halacha is, but you're 100% right. You're basically saying the Mishnah makes a lot of sense. Why would you think otherwise? Okay. So we'll get to that. I'll try to give an explanation for that. Okay. But you've already kind of touched on it, which is, I would say, you could say that the shame Tsaras Erva, the status of being a Tsaras Erva at one point, you could argue, existed.
Okay.
The it didn't exist at a point where it didn't encounter it as yibum. The question is, which that the halacha, that's certainly what's kodeya. And the question is there any reason to think otherwise? And we'll get back to that. Okay. So the kula nemesu mianu onis, that's what it means. The kula nemesu mianu onis garshu hoshin imtsu islandis, right? So we're saying mutaros. Fine. Then the Mishnah adds, the iatayachal omar bekamoso ube'im kamoso ube'im chamid sheninsu ailus osha mianu. Mishnah adds, this is an afterthought, the possibility of somebody being neutralized by virtue of being an islandess or by virtue of Mion obviously can't apply to all cases of the Mishnah, because we're talking about things like mother-in-law, grandmother-in-law, or two grandmother-in-laws, So why can't that apply to islandess and Mion? Because Mion is Ktana. Islandess is somebody who has no simani leida. Obviously, you can't be a mother-in-law unless you have children. Okay, so that part of the Mishnah is clear as well. Now the Mishnah tries to explain what art Soro saying. Right? He can't just throw a term like that out and not explain it. So the Mishnah, in good pedagogic fashion, is going to explain what Soro saying are and what are Soro saying at Sofa Ola. Okay, Ketzad Potros Soro saying. What do we mean when we say that an erva also exempts the co-wives or the rival wives? What does that mean? Hoisa bito o achas mikol ha'arayos ha'elu nesuo slachiv. You had a daughter, it's my daughter, meaning me, the potential yavam, or one of my, or one of these other arayos, right? They're an erva to me, but they married my brother quite legitimately, right? Below isha acheres. But that's not his only wife, right? He had more than one wife. And then Umeis, now he dies, so he leaves at least two wives. The Erva wife, from my point of view, and the Tzara. So the rule is, Kishem Shabito Petura, just as the daughter, as an Erva, is excluded from Ibum, Kach Tzarasa Petura, so too the rival is excluded. Now, that's a very big kiddush. We'll see in a moment that Beis Shammai disagrees. Well, we need to understand that halacha. Why is it a big kiddush, and why does Beis Shammai disagree? Because before you get to the justification of it, on the surface it's a big kiddush because the erva is prohibited to me. I can't be miyave my daughter, right, or my sister, or my mother, or my mother-in-law, or my grandmother-in-law. That's obvious. But this other woman doesn't have an erva relationship. I have a chiyub yibum, lahakim lahakim shem b'Yisrael. Where's the obstacle? So she happened to be the co-wife with somebody who, right, I cannot have a relationship with. But I can have a relationship with her. So what's the problem, Sarah? Meaning it doesn't surprise us, and we'll read it inside in just a second, because when we get it. It's a complicated Mishnah. I want to get through this Mishnah. It doesn't surprise us that Beis Shammai, right, or that somebody argues, it happens to be Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, what's wrong with Tzaros? Tzaros are legitimate targets or candidates better for Yibum. Okay? So so we'll get to that in just a second. We need to understand what's going on with the Tzaros, how does it work, and I'm going to try to show you at least two, broadly speaking again, two perspectives which will help us. And which also may end up answering your question, why would you think otherwise? We'll see that in a minute. So, Holcha Tzoras Bito. Now, what happens if Tzoras Bito, meaning again, let's take the same case. My brother married my daughter. Okay? Family wedding. Right? And he married somebody else who wasn't in the family. Now, what happened then? I'm not the only brother, I have three brothers. Okay, let's take the usual Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Okay, so Reuven married Shimon's daughter. And he also married some other woman. He had two wives. Ah. Reuven dies, doesn't leave any children. Right? Shimon's daughter and the Tzara are Zekuka Lehibon. Now, as far as Shimon is concerned, right, his daughter is an erva, and the other woman is a tzaras erva, so he can have no yibum or chalitza relationship. However, Levi, Levi is able to marry both of them, right? So now, let's say Levi being a good brother, so he steps in and does the yibum. Now, let's say Levi happens to marry, he could marry whichever one he wants, the truth is. Let's say he married not the daughter of Shimon,
but the
Tzara. So he married, Levi married the Tzara. Levi dies, no children, and he has two wives. Right? So the Tzara of Reuven and some other woman. Now it comes back to poor Shimon. Now Shimon is faced with two women. One is the Tzara of Reuven, who is excluded because of his daughter, but there's also another woman, namely the Tzara's Tzara, right, of Levi. I'm sorry, the Tzara's Tzara of him, which is the second wife of Levi. So that's one more removed. Everybody understand that? Right, just something, you just have to fight through the details, and it's really not so complicated. The point, that's called Tzara's Tzara, meaning just like the Erva, right, impacts on the Tzara, so too a Tzara's Erva being in the mix of another group, you just need more. That's why if you ask, remember the first year I said, one of the reasons that Yevamos is complicated for two reasons. Right, the most important one is because the ideas are complex in that they are very dialectical, as we're trying to show. But most people think it's complex not for that reason. They just can't get through the cases.
The computations.
But the reason that I said then, the reason you need so many brothers, well, the Mishnah is trying to drive us crazy. No, but you can't get a case of Tzara's Tzara so that you can then figure out unless you have three brothers. And you have to have each brother being married to multiple wives. It's just a mechanism. A, can happen. B, it's a mechanism for defining isolating the cases. That's exactly what it is. So Tzara's Tzara can only exist in a case without three brothers. Three brothers and two of them have multiple wives. Tzara's Tzara is one step removed from Tziyav Erva, contaminating the pool to create Tzara's Erva. And then, bigger Chiddush even, Tzara's Erva being in another pool is Tzara's Tzara, and that's Ad Sof HaOlam. Meaning if there were 1,000 brothers, we're not going to do the thing here, right? 1,000 brothers with multiple wives, and you just kept going, so it'd be, we go back to Shimon. Shimon's living forever. All of his brothers, you know, dying around him, you know. 999 dead brothers, and Shimon, you know, thriving, you know. So, but every time maybe one of the reasons he's thriving is, every time there's a Yibum case, he's got enough. So this is his 1,000th Tzara removed, right? That's on Sof Kalol.
Right? The brothers are dying and the wives are surviving.
That's also true. Okay. Anyways. So yeah, so Yevamos can be a lot of fun. Now, the point is that's Tzara's Tzara. So, there's an interesting question, we'll get to it, but Tzara's Tzara is a bigger Kiddush than Tzara, or once you know Tzara, how big a Kiddush is Tzara? Well, we know Beit Shammai disagrees, so it has to be a little bit of a Kiddush. Once you know Tzara, is Tzara's Tzara automatic? Or that needs its own limud and it's also Kiddush? That's a big discussion in the Rishonim, we'll see, and we'll discuss it, but that's an important question. Anyways, that's it. Kach Tzara put that. So Holcha, this is what the Mishnah is explaining. Holcha Tzara's Bito, right? This is what I just explained, the Mishnah is explaining. Holcha Tzara's Bito, meaning, we'll take the same mashal, right? The Shimon's daughter was married to Reuven. Reuven died. Reuven had two wives. So the Tzara of the Bas, Shimon, Holcha, Benisei, Slo'achi, Vasheni, married Levi. Below Ishacheres, he had another wife, right? Who makes him, then he dies. Kishen, Shitzar's Bito, Petura, even though she herself is not an Erva. Kach, Tzara's Tzarasa, Petura. So too, a Tzara's Erva being part of the mix, poters all those Tzaros. Ad, Sof, Ola, Pilein, Mea, even if they're 100. I exaggerated, I said 1,000. But it's even 1,000. Ketzad, in Mesu Soroseyan Mutaros. One second. Yeah. Okay. So Haisa Bito O Achas Mikola Rais Elim Misuas Laachiv Velo Isha Cheres is the case. Mesa Bito O Nizgarsha Vyachtach Mes Achiv Sarasa Muteres. Right? What happens if, just like there's a neutralizing of the erva, right? There's a neutralizing of the tsaros erva, right? So that will be tsaros utans. B'chali cholus l'main, b'lo miyana, tsaros acholetz aflom esera. And the last one in the Mishnah is a separate din. Let's say there's a woman who's, a child bride, with, not by her father died, the mother or the brother, that's the case of me, and married her off, and she has the ability to be mimayin, but she didn't. So it's still only a kedushin drabanan. Since it's only a kedushin drabanan, sarasa koletzes velo misyavenas. Because midaraisa is not a real kedushin. Midrabanan we treated as kedushin, therefore we paskin that there should be chalitza, and not in a number of cases, as we'll see, where there's a din drabanan, we paskin that there's chalitza and no yid. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now there's another Mishnah, two other Mishnayas, just to fill in the picture. What is the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph? I'm just going to look at it for 1 second. No, actually, yeah, okay. Klal Omru B'Yivama. There's a rule when it comes to Yivama. Everybody have that? The Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph? Kol Shehi Yisur Erva. Now it's interesting that our Mishnah about Beis Amud Aleph doesn't explicitly say that erva, right, is mufka from Yibum. It's implicit. It's obvious, because really what the Mishnah says is more than that. It says that tsaras erva and tsaras tsara ad sofa olam are permissible, are prohibited in Yibum. So obviously, these are the impact of erva. Obviously, erva is no Yibum. But the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph says explicitly, klal omru b'yivama, kol shi iser erva lo choletzes v'lo mitzyavenes. Whenever you have an erva as the candidate for Yibum, there is neither chalitza nor Yibum. Okay. Iser mitzvah v'iser kedusha, choletzes v'lo mitzyavenes. We'll get back to this. But this basically means, if there is, let's say, either an iser drabanan only, in other words, the candidate for Yibum is Aser Tamim Midrabanan, or Aser Midaraisa, but Chayve Lavin, not an Erva, not a Chayve Krisus. For example, Grusha Lekoein, or Almana Lekoein Gadol. Right? Now the rule is that if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, right, or Grusha is married by a Kohen, the Kedushin is Kal. Because that's Chayve Lavin, not Chayve Krisus. So the rule is that there is Tfisas Kedushin, even though there's Iser. So the Mishnah is telling us here, if the relationship to the Yavam is not an Iser Kares, an Erva, but something less, Chayve Lavin, or even less, Drabanan, so then the rule is, just have to remember this, Koletzes below Nisyavemes. You'll do Chalitza, because there is a Zika, there's a Kesher between them, as opposed to the case of Erva, where there's no Chalitza, even Minat Torah. Here there'll be Chalitza, not Yibum. The Gemara will discuss whether that's Daraisa or Drabanan. That's the Gemara on Chaf Amud Beis, which is a very important Gemara which we're going to get to. Then one more line I want to read for now, and that is this line, Akosa Shehi Yavemta Choletzes O Misyavemes. Now what does that mean? Again, so don't get worried about it. It's a little bit complicated, but again, it's very logical. Akosa Shehi Yavemta. Let's say there's a sister that's a Yavama, not his sister. The case is as follows. Let's say there are two, remember, everybody's dying in these cases. So let's take again the Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right? So there is Reuven. Reuven has a wife, has wives, I'm sorry. Shimon has wives. And both of them die without children. Reuven dies, Shimon dies, and both of them leave. Each one leaves a Yibum situation, right? And Levi is the brother. No, I have to say better. 1 second. There are four brothers. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Sorry. So there's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So, this will be better. Reuben, don't need it, but it'll just be a little better. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. So Reuben and Shimon die and leave their wives. Now Reuben and Shimon were married to sisters. Okay? Reuben's wife and one of Reuben's wives and one of Shimon's wives were sisters. Okay. So now Levi and Yehuda are the remaining brothers, the alive brothers, right? The candidates for Yibum. And they find themselves in a situation where two sisters, right, are candidates for Yibum. One from, but that can't be from the same husband, obviously, because he can't marry two sisters. But we're talking about two different brothers who died. Each one left, among others, a sister of the other. So that's called Achos Zekukaso. Because, this, again, the relationship of Yibum, of Tchi of Yibum, is what we call Zika. Right? So Shimon and Levi, Reuben and Shimon died. Their wives are Zekukos V'Omdos. Right? They have a Zika relationship with both the two remaining brothers, Levi and Yehuda. But Levi and Yehuda now have a Zika relationship with two sisters. That's called Achos Zekukoso. Each sister is the sister of somebody who they already have a Zika relationship with. Now, there's a debate in the Gemara, Yesh Zika Daraisa, Yesh Zika Darabana. Is this the Zika relationship that exists automatically when there's a mitzvah of Yibum? Is that Minat Torah or not? That's a debate. Let's assume for the moment that we take very seriously the Zika. So it's almost like Zika, the Gemara says, certainly if you hold Yesh Zika, then Zika is Kiknusa. It's almost like being, it's practically like being married. So it's like each one is practically married to two sisters, and that can't be, can't have that. That's not halakhically permissible. So normally what would happen in that case would be that, you know, you can do nothing. Right? Each potential Yavam, Levi and Yehuda, right, would have to do chalitza. They wouldn't be able to do Yibum to either one of these because each one is Achos Zekukaso of the other sister.
Why do you need Yehuda in this?
Ah, so just, I don't need it, and that's why originally I didn't have it, but I need it for the following I'm about to ask. So the Mishnah says as follows. Now let's say, again, don't, you know, just keep the thread and you'll be fine. Let's say these two sisters, right, that are now fall to Shimon, to Yehuda and Levi, to Levi and Yehuda, right? The two sisters. Let's say they also, each one has a erva relationship with one of these brothers. Now, let's say sister number one, let's say Reuven's sister, not Reuven's sister, Reuven's wife slash sister, is also Yehuda Levi's daughter. And let's say daughter, let's say mother-in-law, be easier. And Shimon's wife, right, sister, right, is the mother-in-law of Yehuda. So now you have an interesting situation. On the one hand, you have Achos Zekukaso, therefore nobody can marry anybody because there's a Zika coming from both sisters, right? But at the very same time, they're excluded because there's erva. So that's what this line means in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, now look at it again. That's why I wanted both cases. Achosa shehi yibemta. If you have a Yivama candidate who is also a sister of another Yivama candidate from two different brothers, right? And she is an erva. Choletzes o misyavemes. Now that's an amazing din. Meaning what? Why do I have the two brothers now? Each one, if each one, right, will marry, each one could be miyabim, the sister that they have no erva relationship with. Everybody with me? Why? Or again, there's a trivia question, right? When can erva, right, we know our Mishnah with the 15 ervas, right? And we know the beginning of the Mishnah Chafam Nala. So normally erva is an obstacle to Yibum. So let's say I asked you, when can erva be a matir of Yibum? Right? This is the answer. This is the Mishnah. If you have two sisters, following to two brothers or to one brother, right? So normally that would be akosikukaso, which would disqualify the ibum. But if one of the sisters, or one for each brother, also is an erba, so she's not a real candidate. And if she's not a real candidate, then there's only one sister who's a candidate. So it's an amazing thing. What does erba do? Erba is mafkia the zika ad kedekach, that this pagam or this psul is machshir the problem of achos zekukaso. Now, basically then, there are four issues to consider in this mishnah and that mishnah. Actually, I'm just going to just remember this. We'll come back to it in a second. One more piece of the puzzle, which is through the mishnayos, and we'll set the basis for going forward. Yud Gimel, let's look at the other mishnah on Yud Gimel and Aleph, just for 1 minute. And then we'll sum up and see what we're doing. Also a little tricky, but again, not so terrible. What does the mishnah say? Shesh arayos chamuros. Everybody have it on Yud Gimel and Aleph? This is a very famous mishnah, but not for the first half, for the second half, which we're not going to discuss tonight. Shesh arayos chamuros me'elu. There are six arayos which are more chamor even in one respect than the 15. This is the next mishnah. Next mishnah Nivamis. First mishnah Nivamis is based on Aleph. The next mishnah is Yud Gimel and Aleph. Shesh arayos chamuros me'elu. Beyond the 15, there are six more arayos in the parsha, right? And they're more chamor. In what sense? Mipnei shenesuos la'acherim. Because these six can never be married to a brother. They're arayos, which excludes them being not only my wife, they couldn't be my brother from my father's wife either. Right? Ah. And what are they? So we'll see in a moment what they are. But the Mishnah adds, you should know that Saroseyen Mutaros. What does that mean? It means the following. If you look at Rashi, let's look at Rashi for a minute. Shesh Arayos Yesh, Shechamuros Me'elu, that are more severe than the 15 in one sense. Umau Chomer Shalahen, in what respect are they more Chomer? Shenesuos La'acherim, Ve'enen Yecholim Le'hinase La'achiv Me'aviv. They can never be married to my brother for the same reason they can't be married to me. They can only marry strangers, right? Okay, that makes them more chomer. V'imesu ba'alehem shehen nachrios etzel zeh. Let's say one of these arayos married a non-family, they can only remember a non-brother or non-family member, right? So they married a non-family member, and that person was married to one of these arayos. And he had other wives too. For example, mother. Mother is a great example. Right, my I'm sorry. Not my mother. Your mother. Yeah, because the mother is always the wife of the father.
Correct.
Mother. Right? The mother, that's the first one that they look in the mission just for a second. Shesh arayos chamuros me'elu b'dechim suos la'acherim. We explain that. Sorosein mutaros. We'll explain it in one more second. What are they? Imo, his mother. Eshes aviv, his stepmother. Achos aviv, his aunt from his father. Achoso me'aviv, his sister from his father. Eshes achi aviv. Eshes achiv me'aviv. Right? These are all relatives from the father's side. And then the Mishnah adds, by the way, Beishamai matirin atzoros la'achim. Beishamai doesn't believe in this whole bit of tzoros. We'll get to it in a minute. The rest of the Mishnah, which is more famous, which I don't want to go into, but you should just know, Beis Hillel Osrim, Beis Hillel, this forbids it, that we know. This is the Cholzu Beishamai Poslin Minakuna, Beis Hillel Makshirin. This Yavmu Beishamai Makshirin Beis Hillel Poslin. Alpha Bishayel Osrim, Beil Matir, Beil Poslin, Beil Makshirin, Lo Ninu Beishamai Milisa Nashimi Beis Hillel, Lo Beis Hillel Mi Beishamai, etc. Kol Taurus V'chav Tveos Sheu Eilu Mitarim Ve'Eilu Mitarim V'Lo Nimnu Osin Taurus Eilu Agabeil. This is a famous Mishnah which says that even though Beishamai Beitzila had these very Tzoros Erevos, hugely consequential, like Beishamai said, you can marry your sister-in-law who's a Tzoros Ereva. Beishilo thought that that was a Chiyuv Kares. Nonetheless, they were able to marry. Now the Mishnah doesn't mean that if somebody would, you know, violate the stricture of Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, that they would ignore that out of respect to the other. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying was, where there's no conflict in halakha, right, they intermarried and they were respectful of each other's opinions, but of course they were also principled about applying what they felt to be the actual halakha. So when we get to this, hopefully, well, that's a very important hashkaf. This is the Elu Deilu Divrei Elokim Chaim Gemara in Yavam. The last second half of this Mishnah, it's often quoted, but again, it needs to be understood. Anyways, the first part of the Mishnah is what I'm interested in. Yeah?
I just heard you say something that I hadn't realized. That you said that if you marry, if there is an attempt to marry the Soros, that's an Isakaris.
Yeah. We'll explain what we mean by why that's so.
That's not so evident.
No, that's what the Gemara seems to say, though, and we need to explain why. Well, so the reason is, it's right, so it goes back to the, which I hope I'll get to already this week. We need to explain how tsaros work. On some level, tsaros work, I'll just say very quickly because I want to get back to it. On some level they work, the only question is this the reason that they work, or is this the result of the real reason that they work? But either way, certainly on a consequence level, if tsaros erba are excluded from Yibum, right, then they become Eishes Achiv, right, the equivalent of Eishes Achiv Sheyesh Laban, and that's Chai Decreases. Meaning, let's not forget that no matter what position you take on Yibum, right, the case of Yibum is a sister-in-law, which is normally Chai Decreases. So in the context of Yibum, right, it's either what we call Dechuya or Hutra. These are some of the perspectives that we're looking at. But where it's prohibited, it can once again assume, that's what a few Gemaras seem to say, Rashi certainly holds this way throughout, it assumes again the status of an Iser Eshasach, and that's why it's Karis. Understand? But we'll get back to that hopefully.
Well, when does that happen? Does that happen during the marriage, prior to the...
While everybody's alive.
Do they enter that state before they become an issue for Yibum Chalitza? Or is it only a question at the time?
Well, before they become open to Yibum Chalitza, the brother's alive.
Right.
There's no... Then they're for sure Chai Misa.
I didn't say that, but some of the things that we were discussing before...
Yeah.
We're
because of your question.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to that. I mean, Lamaisa, obviously, as long as he's alive, there's Eishes Ish.
Right.
And there's also Eishes Ach. There's both. Fully. The question is... Right?
Like, with that perspective, it doesn't still have that relationship exist, right? So you have the Eishes Ach...
Right.
Is not necessarily the biggest district, it could be the biggest mitzvah. It depends on the circumstances
right.
that evolve.
Right.
So at this time, in order to, it still could be an open question. According to your hutra, greater hutra.
Once there's a possibility of Yibum,
Or not. That when your brother gets married, there's no relationship created. We tend to think of it as an Issa relationship. Or it could be...
Well, isn't this a relationship with Foal? I mean, there's no question about that. Okay. If what you're saying is on the lumbus of it, you could say, oh, already there's this potential that Lu Yitzuya, this is all going to happen. Right, so you might want to say that. You might want to say that. But as I said before, even if you're looking ahead, as long as he's alive, there's this rivalry, betrayal aspect, which seemingly arises. But I think that's a little bit where the Havamina...
Why are we saying that there's a rivalry between the Tsaros, but yet...
Not the Tsaros, I mean between the brother and...
While the brothers are alive, why are we not expressing a rivalry between the brothers that, if one of the brothers dies, then they become... They get into this situation. I just think that the rivalry...
No, I'm saying that while the brothers are alive, this is an erba. Even if there's a gerushin or a misa where there are children, right? It's not only while they're alive. There's an Isra Eshesach.
Right.
It's only in the context of Nebuch, the brother died, he didn't leave anybody.
Okay.
The best thing for him now it's not the best thing for him if there's no legacy aspect. Okay. That's all. That's fine. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Shesha Rais Kaburus Me'emu, Nipnesh and Nisus Lachem. So we're saying with Taurus. Emo, Eshesavit Akta. So what does this mean? So Rashi explains, it means the following. Let's say take a mother. The mother is one of the Sheish Arayos HaChamuros, right? You never have a Yibum situation with that. Fine. So let's say the mother was married to some the neighbor. I'm just picking a neighbor, meaning not a relative. Okay. Now the neighbor had three wives. My mother, right? And two other women, Nachrios. Now, he dies. The neighbor dies. And now the question is, can I marry, not mother, obviously, but the mother's co-wife?
The
Nachrios. That's the question that the Mishnah is dealing with. So the Mishnah says, yes, absolutely. The fact that these wives were co-wives with my mother to this Nachri, I don't mean Nachri non-Jew, Nachri non-relative, the neighbor, is irrelevant. What does that have to do with the Taurus?
It's not evil.
Even Beis Hillel holds that. Oh, that's what the Mishnah is saying. What we'll see in the Gemara is the Gemara knows this is to be true. They're like Trimishnayas. Even Beis Hillel, who says that there are tzaros in the context of Yibum, doesn't think that even the Sheish Arayos Achamuros have tzaros. Why do we even need to be told this? Not only why do we need to be told it, but the Gemara is saying, says at some point, well, maybe it's not true. Right? I'll show you the Gemara in a minute. So these are the pieces I wanted. So basically, this is sum up so far. What do we have? We have a din that Yibum applies to Eshesach. Eshesach is kares, Eshesach is erba, right? And yet Yibum applies. However, one, Mishnah Chalkum Medalev, the implicit Mishnah Nabesa Medalev, the Makom erva, other ervas, there's no Yibum. But the Gemara is going to challenge it. Partly the Gemara is going to challenge it by saying, you know, why is it different than Eshesach? But it is. That brings us to the question. Now, again, if Eshesach is just an Iser and it's being overcome, right? Perspective number one, let's say. So then, the question of where do you draw the line? I mean, if Yibum is such a big mitzvah and we can override the Iser Eshesach, which is an Erva and a Chayvei Krisus, so if there's a double Erva and Chayvei Krisus, how do you know you still can't do it? Right? Because the whole question is power, pressure, counter pressure, and overcoming, etc. So you can say, okay, Ad Kan, but not Ad Kan. But you have to know, there's something to talk about, right? On the other hand, if we take the more Hutra idea, which is the reason that Yibum applies to Eshesach is not just because the Hakim Achid Shem as a result or as an imperative overrides the Erba, but because B'makom, this circumstance, there is no Erba. Right? But that doesn't apply if coincidentally it also happens to be my daughter or my mother or my mother-in-law or my grandmother-in-law, etc. Because that you can never turn into anything other than that than what it is. Right? So that's A. Now, just I want to show you. That's point number one. The point of Erba. We're going to see the discussions in the Gemara. It took a little while just to get through the Mishnah, but once we do that, it's easier. We'll see. That's point number one. Point number two is that the Mishnah says that there's something called Saras Erva. And that's a Chiddush. How do we know it's a Chiddush? Number one, the logic tells us it's a Chiddush. Isn't so obvious. Number two, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says that Beis Shammai disagrees. And if Beis Shammai disagrees, it's not so obvious. The question is, what is it based on? How do we understand it? Oh. So what I'd like to share very quickly is two perspectives on Saras Erva. We're going to be going back to this because we need to examine this topic more fully afterwards. There are two ways, I think, to look at Saras Erva. One way to look at it is that Saras Erva triggers Eshesach, like I said a minute ago. Because the Gemara does say later on that Saras Erva, according to Beis Hillel, is Chai Bekrisus. Namely, if he goes ahead and he has a relationship with this Saras Erva, right? So then there will be a terrible consequence. How can it be Chai Bekrisus? It's Saras Erva. It's not his daughter, it's not his daughter, it's not one of the members of the Parsha of Arayos. Right? So Rashi always explains And as a consequence, everybody has to agree with this. Just not as a cause, as I'll explain in a moment. That the reason that there would be chayvei krisus is because there is an erva. Eishes ach. Aye, but eishes ach is exactly what's mutter and yibum. Yes, it's mutter and yibum when it's mutter. But here, if it's asur, right, then it's eishes ach. So it's erva. So it looks, even to the point of saying, so what's wrong? Why does Beis Shammai think it's not true? That's such a good explanation. This is Rashi's preferred explanation. Whenever Rashi explains Eisha and Tzoras Erva, he explains it's Eisha Sach. What about Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai say, listen, it's not really Eisha Sach because Yibum doesn't have the Easter of Eisha Sach. Aye, Lemaisa, right? Well, he says there's no Lemaisa either. That if you think it's Asur, then it'll turn into, then maybe it becomes Eishasach. Or, if you really think that it's Eishasach, and maybe the idea is as follows. In Yibum, it's all or none. You have three candidates, like you asked before. You have multiple wives, right? So maybe the rule is, you can't have a selective Yibum. If there's no Yibum because of the Erva, right, then there's no Yibum. And once there's no Yibum, there's Eishasach. I mean, Beis Shammai says that's wrong. Beis Shammai says we should look at each wife independently. It's not a collectivity. Oh, the wives of that sounds like a book, or a king, the wives of Reuven the first. You know, that's not the way you look at it, right? There's wife Sarah. You know, there's Sarah the wife, and there's Leah the wife, and there's Rachel the wife. Right? So the Shammai says, this one's Erva, what's it got to do with the others? Beit Hillel says, it's a collectivity. This one perspective I'm saying. So if you can't apply Yibum to everyone, then there's Eishasach. And if there's Eishasach, then there's Erva. And by the way, that if that's true, then that's true not only for Tzara, but for Tzara itself, Kol Olam too. The second that you can't apply, for whatever reason, we don't really care. If you can't apply across the board, Yibum, there's Eishasach. And if there's Eishasach, that's Erva. And that creates more Tzara's Erva, which is really Erva. That's one perspective. If you say that, for example, the Havamina Mishnah that somehow it would depend on before, not just on that, makes no sense. And you say, well, they're just telling you it's wrong, that's all. Fine. I think there's another perspective. I think it can be demonstrated. Because let me just add one other point. Sorry, I'm running late, but just give me one more minute to finish this point. The Mishnah, which says, and the Gemara, which considers this to be like more of an open question, that there's no tzoras erva in the six arayos achamuros, right? What's that case again? My neighbor, right, married my mother-in-law and two other women. And then he died. Question is, can I marry one of those other women? Right? So the Mishnah says yes. But the Gemara says it isn't so obvious. That's the Psak of the Mishnah. But we might have thought differently. Now, if the point of Tzoras Erva is that it's Eishes Ach, then that doesn't make any sense. Then of course it can't apply to the Sheish Arayos. Why? Because there's no Eishes Ach. Well, what would be the reason for it ever to be Asur? Right? She was a rival of my mother-in-law, of my mother. She was a co-wife of my mother. Where's the Isser Erva?
Tzoras Erva.
What?
Tzoras Erva.
What do you mean?
Co-wife of an Erva.
Yeah. But I'm saying, what's the Isser in that? Yeah. However, the Psak of the Mishnah is fine. But the Hava Aminas of the Gemara, when the Gemara says, oh, maybe you should think differently, I'll show you next week. It's too late for me to show you this. We'll read the Gemara next week. I'll show you where the Hava Aminas are like that. A bunch of them. Oh, so I think there's a second approach to Tzoras Erva. And that is, Tzoras Erva is a legal status. And it's a legal status still, only in regard to Yibum, Lahalacha. Well, you might have thought that it's more than that. Namely, there's a certain, not the Iser, not at the Iser level, on the level of status and relationship. It's unseemly, you might think, right? Somebody's a Tzoras Erva. Again, the assumption is still that there's a certain collectivity in some respects, anyway. meaning if a person has multiple wives, so it's not just that he's married to one, he's married to the other, and he's married to the third. These are his wives, right? And one of the wives is my mother, is my daughter, is my daughter-in-law, whatever. So especially in the context of Yibum, I would say, where we're hypersensitive, because Yibum is on the line of being a terrible erva, Eish HaSach, right? What makes it not Eish HaSach? The fact that it's a mitzvah of Yibum, right? And it's a davar shebiktusha. You have to be very careful not to lose that. So if there's something called a shame, tzaras erva, meaning, it's true, I don't have any yisur relationship with this woman, but she's my mother's rival, right? From a relationship standpoint, that kind of sours a little bit. Just let's remember that when the Torah speaks about some of the arayos, or the father's wife, not your mother, it's a stepmother. So the Torah uses the expression, oh, you're megalek enough of you. Things of that sort. We'll discuss it more fully. Meaning, it isn't the relationship itself, it's the unseemliness, right, of the relationship of the relationship, in a way. So tsaras erba may very well be the same kind of a thing. Tsaras erba says there's a chalos called tsaras erba. And that's not appropriate if she's tsaras biti or tsaras imi, right? Or can't be ima in case of Yibum, but tsaras chami, or chamosi rather, right? That's not appropriate for Yibum. That would work to the second perspective, which is that Yibum has the ambition of Kedushas Ishus, and therefore you don't measure it by Isurim only. What's wrong with Erva? The shame Erva. Saras Erva also has a shemetz of a shame Erva. So that's why there could be a Havamina, two Havaminas. Number one, you might have thought, but it isn't true, because it's only applicable in Yibum. But you might have thought that if you have Arayas Chamuros, right, maybe there's a din of Tsaras Erva in general. Because it's because the erva is even more chamor, right? The only thing is, it's not in the sensitive an area because it's not Yibum, so you don't have to overcome to create a davar shebiktusha. It's neutral territory. It's regular issues. So that's the answer. But at least you can understand why the Gemara says the makom. That's one of the lines of the Gemara. The Gemara says the makom mitzvah. This tzaras erva shalom a makom mitzvah. There's not even an excuse. Should be worse. We don't pass it that way. But what are they even thinking? There's no Eish HaSach, or its equivalent. What they're thinking is, it's unseemly. It's a kind of, it isn't erva, but it's an extension erva. Or, now we understand a little bit, the Gemara Mishnah needs to tell you, let's say there used to be Tsaros erva. So the Mishnah says, yeah, but it's defined by the moment of the Misa. That's true. What would we think otherwise? You might think, you know, they used to be Tzara, they're not Tzara Tzareba now. They used to be Tzara Tzareba. So if it's Eishas Achiv, it has to be the moment of the Misa. But if it's a status, a stigma, something that sours the, you know, idealism of this kind of relationship, it's got to be, you know, Kadas, Kadas, or Kadin, because otherwise, you know, it looks like Eishas Ach. So we've got to go out of our way to be machshir it. So then you might have thought, even if it was at one point, that's enough. Come on, Shmalan. It's not true.
We have you learn about it?
You are? No, I'm just trying to explain why the mitzvah. 100%. Two sisters is not the same as Tzaras.
No, but it's an erva.
Yeah. No, we can't.
But if your wife passes away, I'm allowed to marry one sister.
After passes away. Not the Gerushin.
As an erva of the law.
Yeah, so these are different. So tomorrow, next week, I want to finish up with, I want to get back to the point that we're going to stop it. Next week we'll talk about the idea that if you have an erva and achusa, the mishnah and chafam and aleph, why that's a kula, not a chumra, for the same reason. And then we'll go through the gemaras to explain the two perspectives.